Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, titled, Daniel Suffers for Being Faithful. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, titled, Daniel Suffers for Being Faithful. This is part 1 of 2. We debated about whether or not I'd sing that with her. I said, well, if I get choked up and can't sing, I'll just do it. And we're in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to cover the first, about almost the first half of Daniel chapter 6. Daniel suffers for being faithful. And before we get into that, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and I want to lift up so many people hurting right now, and we're thankful to have heard good news from Brother Pedro and his family, contacting him and his mother being safe down in Puerto Rico. But Lord, I pray that the powers that be that have trillions of dollars to waste and billions to spend over to countries overseas that hate us, and they're slow to get water, generators, gasoline, and food down to Puerto Rico that's just off the coast of Florida. And Lord, I just pray that the first aid and the medical needs, the hospitals that are without air conditioning and people who need to be kept in comfortable conditions, recovering from surgeries and that sort of thing, women who are having babies and all that, it's just a mess, and we just pray, Lord, that you'd provide. And we sit in this very comfortable building, air conditioning cooling us off, fans blowing. We have coffee and tea and water, and we're just so comfortable. And we do not want to take it for granted. We thank you. But we also don't want to be spoiled brat children and think we are owed any of this. And so we thank you and ask you for us all to have a right attitude, that you'll help me get through this study and to present your word as you would have it presented with the help of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Daniel suffers for being faithful. I just want to put this out there. If you suffer because you make stupid decisions, please don't blame that on God. If you break the law, I just laying this out here. If you're out there driving in a 35 mile per hour zone going 60, and you lose your driver's license, that's not suffering for Jesus. Amen. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But we are talking about, I'm going to close that thing that's making that dinging noise, because I don't want to hear that all night. But we're talking about suffering for being faithful. And we're going to start right in verses 1 and 2 in Daniel chapter 6. And I want you to read that with me. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. It's amazing what you learn in the Bible, and you see that this is not a book of fairy tales, and God gives us a lot of details that might seem a little, just too much information, not necessary at times. And then you find out that passages like these had an influence on the founding of the United States of America, and the way they had a representative form of government. And so I'm thankful that there were a lot of details about governing in the Bible that otherwise seem not to really fit, and it's not really important to the story necessarily. But we understand the influence it's had on this country. And in this is post-Babylon, and it's under a king regent, Darius. And it looked like this. I made a little chart. And you had the king regent up here. And if you study American history, you're going to find there were some presidents who were hands-on micromanagers. And then there were other presidents who were described as aloof because they didn't micromanage. Ronald Reagan was one of those. They tried to act like he didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't really know what was going on. And when he left the presidency and it was revealed he had Alzheimer's, you know, they tried to say, well, he probably had it all in the entire decade of the 80s. And that wasn't true. And you find out he knew a lot more than they thought he did. Now that we have all the secret documents and the video that comes out, and you see that the man knew more than what people gave him credit for. And you'll hear people say that about Darius. You'll have people say, well, he had Daniel do all the work and that sort of thing. Well, a lot of what a president and a king has to do, I'll just be honest with you, the same thing's true about being a pastor. A lot of people go in, and I'm one of them, go into the ministry thinking you're going to spend a lot of time preaching and preaching and preaching. You spend a lot of time doing other things. I've spent a lot of time running vacuum cleaners. I've spent a lot of time cleaning toilets. I've spent a lot of time emptying garbage cans, cleaning up puke. I've spent a lot of times talking to people. And don't think I'm talking to anyone in here today. But I spend a lot of times talking to people about stuff that just doesn't matter one iota and bores me to tears. But so why do you do that? Because being a pastor is kind of like, in a way, kind of like being a parent. I'm sorry, Mariah, but there were times where I listened to you talk and thought, dear Lord, make it stop. Feeling is mutual. And I'll tell you, I know one thing for sure, that girl watched a lot of documentaries that she wished she didn't have to sit through. But because I offered popcorn and ice cream, she sat. So that's what's true about being a king. He has a lot of stuff that he has to do. And then there's the dirty work where you really got to get things done. And he recognized in Daniel someone who would do the job. One of the problems we've had with our present administration in the White House is he's hired some people who didn't do the job. And it hurts a president, it hurts a king. But the funny thing is in this situation, the king hired a president. And Daniel was the first of the presidents, and then he kind of ruled over the rest. But then he had two others that served under him, and then you had 120... Basically, like we have in Ohio, we have 88 counties. And they have their own local governments. That's kind of the way this worked. And so that gives you an idea of what we're reading there. In verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, you notice there that he didn't say because Daniel was a Rhodes Scholar. He was a member of the Skull and Bones and the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberger, you know. That's what we've got in America today, too much of it. When Donald Trump said he wanted to drain the swamp, because he had people like Bannon and Gorka and some of those guys around him, we knew what he meant. He meant he wants to get rid of the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg, New World Order elitists. And I'm just telling you today, I hope you're smart enough to understand that. Because the news media wants you to hate Donald Trump, but they want you to think he's a racist. If you think he's a racist, go look at who praised him before he ran for president. Before Donald Trump ran for president, he was praised by the NAACP. He was praised by Jesse Jackson. Look it up. But it was when he ran for president and said, I want to drain the swamp. And he surrounded himself by these people who aren't part of the elite. That's when they hated him. And it's a shame that Christians, by and large, I'm just saying the truth, Christians, by and large, are too ignorant to recognize that fact. And so they won't listen to their preachers and turn off the news. ABC, NBC, CBS is rotting your brain. If you don't want to be stupid, turn it off. You heard it here. And they won't, and CNN, I mean, I hope no one's dumb enough to watch that.
No, they put it on at work.
Well, you can't help that. But I mean, when you're the one holding the clicker. That's how old I am. I still call them clickers. And what we have in America are people who don't recognize when there's a man who is not part of the agenda. And you go back, you remember a man named Pat Buchanan. They were scared to death of him. So what did they do? He's a white guy, so they called him a racist. The man ain't a racist. And when he wasn't running for president, and when he hasn't run for president since, everybody's fine with it. No one's calling him a racist. So you got to be smart enough to see through this stuff. And that's how smart this unsaved man, Darius, was. He looked at Daniel, and he saw an excellent spirit was in him. And it's similar to the way Jesus, God the Son, rules over everyone but the Father. You remember the chart I just showed you? Well, this is the hierarchy of the Trinity. This isn't greater or less than in a sense of lesser God, but it is greater and less than in the hierarchy of authority of the Godhead. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus will tell you over and over that he came not to do his own will, but the Father's. And then he said, after I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, who won't speak of himself, but will speak of me. And when he speaks of me, he'll glorify the Father. See that? And that's the government over the body of Christ. That's nice. I mean, you just read the book of Daniel, you'll see that kind of typology. Shadows. Similarity is not sameness. And so we got to be careful to point that out. Types are similar, they're not the same. So when you see God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost working like that, with Daniel it's a little different, but it does picture it. I want you to turn over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see this. If you don't think, as you read about the God you serve, the God that you're saved by, the God you love, if you don't read his book and think in terms of Trinity, you're going to be completely confused. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 27, just to give you a little picture of this, the chart I just showed you. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. That's the Father putting all things under the feet of Jesus. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. See that? In other words, the Father is not under him. Everything else is. Everyone else is. But not the Father. And look what it says in verse 28. Glory. Read verse 28 with me. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Jesus is actually going to rule and reign on the earth, and when all is said and done, and death is dead, and cast in the lake of fire, there'll be no more death, and Jesus is going to deliver the kingdom up to his Father.
Amen.
Love it. Could go on and on about that. But in the same way, the world hates the real biblical Jesus. Daniel was despised by his jealous subjects. You see that? I'm just telling you. Some of you have been taught that if you live a good Christian life, you'll be sweet as pie and everyone's going to love you. That's heresy. It's killing the church today. Oh, you'll be sweet as pie when pie should be served. Amen? Jenny will tell you, I can be sweet as pie, can't I? See? I put her on the spot. And Jenny is as sweet as pie to me when she should be. There are other times she's righteously indignant. There are other times where she's like, God's going to take care of that. God's going to do something about that. Jesus is coming again and all that's going to burn. Charlie, can I get a witness? How many times you heard that? Why? Because a good Christian woman isn't going to be sweet as pie all the time. She's going to be full of the Holy Ghost, and there's going to be times where she's going to call a spade a spade. She's going to call it like it is. And I've been to funerals. I told you about a couple of funerals I've been to where they said, she never said an angry word to anybody. I said, that's sad. I mean, I knew her life. I knew some of the people in her life. She should have rebuked some people. But no, it's all about being liked. Well, Daniel wasn't about that. Go back to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, then the presidents and the princes, talking about those two other presidents, they're like vice presidents, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Here's the neat thing. But they could not. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was what?
Faithful.
Now that's not talking about the Lord. He was faithful to his king. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's talking about him being faithful. Now, we don't have a king. So you say amen?
Yeah.
We fought to throw off the king. How many see those bums, those NFL idiots, over in England take a knee when our national anthem was played, and then they stood up for God Save the Queen? She was the one who brought the slaves here in the first place. They claim that they're taking a knee because of the cops, basically, but the way that they're treated. They say the black men are being mistreated in this country. And I'm telling you, there are some examples of that. I'm not denying that that doesn't happen. I'm not denying it happens. That's the right way of saying that. But you've got to use your brain. That flag represents the only reason you're free. And I'm not just talking to the black man, I'm talking about the white man. You were under a king, George, and you were a slave, and he was just taxing and sucking everything out of this country that he could, and they threw off the shackles. And then there were spatterings of free black men in this country, and more and more free black men, but the abolitionists in this country couldn't wait for things to take their natural course. And I'm here to tell you, you can't prove me wrong on this, I believe slavery would have been over by the 1870s. And a lot of the men who would have been alive and enjoyed the end of slavery in the 1870s died because of the Civil War in this country. And the Civil War happened. They didn't have to kill anybody in England. Do you realize that? They had a Civil War. They had several, and never about slavery. Slavery ended in England because the abolitionists over there were Bible-believing Christians. The abolitionists in America were very few Bible-believing Christians. There were people against slavery, but they weren't abolitionists, by the way. The original Cassius Clay from Kentucky was a white man, and he was opposed to slavery, but he said, "Don't call me an abolitionist. Those people are dangerous." And men like him who were opposed to slavery but didn't want to be called abolitionists, they said, "These people are going to get people killed." They had no idea it was going to end up 600,000 people killed. John Brown was a nut. And everybody acts like he's a hero. He was an insane, he was a maniac.
More people died in that war than all the
rest. Yeah. So people ask me about this. I'm very glad slavery is over. Very glad slavery ended. Very sad in the way it happened. And what you've got going on with Daniel in this book is he is being faithful to the kingdom. And in those instances I just told you, if men would have been faithful to, not a king in this country, the Constitution. If men would have been faithful to the Constitution, then more and more men sooner than later, and more already should have by 1860, should have already been saying, "We believe all men are created equal." That's our Declaration of Independence. And the Constitution says, "We the people." Who people? The people in the Declaration of Independence that are created equal. Amen. So if you believe in the Constitution, you live in 1850, you should have been opposed to slavery. And if the men in the South would have been faithful to the Constitution, there would have never been a war. And South Carolina, when they seceded, they didn't. It was not about the Constitution. And I'm not going to belabor that. I just want to give you a little bit so that you'll go and dig up your history and find out that what most of us are taught in history is propaganda. And some of it's true, some of it's not. Huh? Yeah, fake history, like fake news. And I don't know how many of you have read this before, but I've heard people teach on this and they don't point out that Daniel was faithful to his king. Because his king was following God's direction. He was a Romans 13, 1-6 king. And that's why Daniel was faithful to him. And again, just like Jesus, Jesus was faithful. Jesus was not trying to overthrow the Jewish leadership. He wanted them saved. He wanted everybody from Caiaphas on down to be saved. And he never tried to overthrow that government. But what happened? They set him up. And Luke 23:4 then said, Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." Didn't have anything of any substance against him. And Pilate admitted it in front of everybody. And that's what's happening with Daniel. And I want to tell you this. Daniel was faithful. We're going to see Daniel take a stand. We are today, I'm not talking about the liberals, I'm not talking about the unsaved crowd, I'm talking about the professing Christians today. They're cowards and sellouts. And I could go on for hours showing you examples of this. These men are hirelings that Jesus described. They're for sale.
Right.
And this is a clip that I told somebody a long time ago. If I found it, I'd share it. But I was listening to American Family Radio. And I'm not telling you to boycott them or not listen to them. They're a good source for a lot of news and everything like that. But this is just an example of what you get on Christian radio.
Kenny in Norman, Oklahoma. Kenny, go right ahead with your question or comment for Ron Carlson.
Hello, gentlemen. I would rather listen to AFR radio than Rush Limbaugh any day.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that, Kenny.
I have a question for Mr. Carlson.
Okay.
Listen. Mr. Carlson, Dave Hunt, the writer, says that in Revelation 17 and 1, the great whore is Rome and the Catholic Church, and I agree with Dave Hunt. Do you agree with us?
Hey, Kenny, Kenny, thanks for calling. Kenny, I'm not going to let Ron answer that because I'm overruling you on that one.
That's right.
We don't talk about that, get into that kind of depth of theology.
Right.
So I'm making the call on that one.
Now watch.
You can imagine we get into that with 60 seconds to go.
Right.
Here, we're not going to.
We'll never hear the end
of
it.
No, so we're not going to get into that. All right, Ron, thanks so much for being with us today.
Time is the issue. This is 90 seconds later. 30 more seconds of chatter.
Well, it's been a great 2 hours. Kim LaHaye.
It has been. It has been.
Now listen close.
And I hope I didn't come across as rude to our last caller. Didn't mean to be, but there are just certain topics that we just don't get into here.
We'll let you study the Bible on your own.
Study the Bible on your own. And it didn't mean to be rude to the brother who called, but just want folks to know that some subjects, you know, we just can't get into because we don't have time to explore them.
Right.
In
it's not fair to answer that in 30 or 40 seconds.
So anyway, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
You've been listening to Today's Issues. For a copy of today's broadcast, call 1-888-FAMILIES. Join us again next time for Today's Issues.
Jim, say that louder.
How long does it take to say yes? That's true.
Amen.
The simple answer, they didn't need more than 60 seconds. They didn't need 6 seconds. Yes, Revelation 17 is the whore. Thank you for calling. We're out of time. And you know, I hate to say it. I mean, I'm not, you saw it. I'm not making it up. I mean, he just lied. They just lied. They did not cut that guy off because they didn't have time to talk about it. They said they had 60 seconds. They had 120 seconds. And they said that they didn't have time, but the next day they had 2 hours. You know what? If he'd asked something about, you know, I don't know, anything else within, you know, acceptable terms, they would have said, you know what? We're going to pick up there tomorrow. Call, come in, tune in tomorrow. You know, it's like what they call that when you tease. Tune in tomorrow. We'll talk about this.
I've heard a similar question on the same radio program.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same way.
Yeah. And like I said, you just mark it down. You cannot be on a national Christian radio network today unless you are Catholic friendly. You don't have to come out and promote them. But you don't tell people the truth. You want to hear it? My point is, Daniel would have answered that question. Daniel would have answered yes. And we don't have enough Daniels today. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They knew that they were not going to find dirt on Daniel outside of his relationship with the Lord. Meaning, they will pass a law requiring Daniel to break God's law. I might mention this again. I can't remember if I put this in a slide or not. If you study Christian history, you're going to find out most Christians were imprisoned and killed, and it wasn't for being a Christian. Just like Jesus, they didn't kill Jesus.